Amen. Let's now turn our direction to Lord's Day 29 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 29, which is found on page 36. And we are in the middle of our discussion regarding the Lord's Supper. What does that mean? We talked about the significance last time, and now we're going to be focused in more on the effectiveness of the Lord's Supper. The bread and wine, what effect does it actually have? And we'll talk about the various perspectives on that question. And so let's respond to the questions now in Lord's Day 29. Do then the bread and wine become the real body and blood of Christ? No, but as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, nor becomes the washing away of sins, being only the divine token and assurance thereof, so also in the Lord's Supper, the sacred bread does not become the body of Christ itself, though agreeably to the nature and usage of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ. Why then does Christ call the bread of his body, the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant or the New Testament in his blood, and the Apostle Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Christ thus speaks with great cause, namely, not only to teach us thereby that like as the bread and wine sustain this temporal life, so also his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink of our souls unto life eternal, but much more by this visible sign and pledge to assure us that we are really partakers of his true body and blood by the working of the Holy Spirit, as we receive by the mouth of the body these holy tokens in remembrance of him, that all his suffering and obedience are as certainly our own as if we ourselves had suffered and done all in our own person. Congregation, as you might notice, the language of the Heidelberg Catechism, does the bread and wine become the real body and blood of Christ? And that comes from a historical context that's really taken a shot at the Roman Catholic Church that believe in the real presence of Christ at the table or at the altar in their case. And I'm going to define very briefly these different perspectives of the Lord's Supper because it is very important. The sacraments are important to the life of the church and the life of the believer to strengthen their faith, and it's important that we understand what's taking place. But the Roman Catholic Church believe in what's called the real presence, and they can define their perspective in one word, and the word is transubstantiation. Now, all of us are probably yawning before we even finish that word, because it's so long. But there's two words that I want you to remember in defining that word transubstantiation. There's transformation that takes place, and there is a sacrifice that takes place. And if you understand those two words, you understand the whole doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. And so what they believe, according to their teachings in the Council of Trent, is that when the priest holds up the bread and wine and they consecrate it, and that bread and wine turn to the real flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, there's a transformation that takes place. Even though the bread still looks like bread, it tastes like bread, it feels like bread, smells like bread, but in that consecration, they say the substance has changed from bread to wine, or from bread to the body of Christ, and the wine to the blood of Christ. So what they are actually eating and consuming is the real body of Christ. Now this is idolatry, as the Catechism will go into further in the next Lord's Day, which we'll touch on that. But this is what's in the context of the Catechism, that it's really responding against that, and that's why it's so quick to say, does it turn into the real body and blood of Christ? And it says, no, not at all. The bread and the wine still remain bread and still remains wine. There's no transformation that takes place. There's no sacrifice, re-sacrificing, or even a continual sacrifice, however they want to say that. But there is no sacrifice that takes place. There is no altar. That's why we call it a table of the Lord's Supper. And so we are very quick to say, no, there is no transformation, there is no sacrifice that takes place, but that doesn't mean it's just insignificant. There are signs, they point us to the greater reality of the once and for all sacrifice that has already taken place in Christ. And so, going to the next perspective, the most popular one by far is the Lutheran perspective, which says, we believe in a real presence, but we deny that there's a transformation that takes place. So there's no transubstantiation, but they still believe in the real presence. And if you ever, I mean, this is my experience with Lutherans is very limited and limited to videos and a couple of conversations I've had. But they don't really care about finding out how to explain that. How is it the real flesh and blood, but yet not transformed? To them, it's like the Bible says it. Jesus said, this is my body. That's good enough for me. But then there's the most popular perspective in the evangelical view, which says it's just a memorial. It's just a remembrance. And while we certainly agree that when we hold up the bread and wine, we are remembering what Christ has done for us. But there's certainly more that takes place than just a remembrance. All right, so the Reformed perspective has said that Christ is present spiritually. That is, not just some kind of mystical thing, may the force be with you kind of thing, but through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the best way, the best way that I could explain it to you is this. The Roman Catholic Church bring Christ down to the altar. In the Lord's Supper, in the Reformed perspective, the Holy Spirit brings us through faith to where Christ is seated. So when we eat and drink the body and blood of Christ, we are communing with Him where He is at in a special way. And that's where the intimacy comes in. That's where the presence comes in. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit, through faith. So again, the bread and wine don't change. But the bread and wine is meant to help us in our weakness to remember what Christ has done, but also to think about how we are actually communing with Christ in an intimate way. Through the operation of the Holy Spirit, which is why the New Testament often calls the Spirit of Christ. That's His job, is to bring us closer to Christ. And how much closer can we be with Christ in this side of glory than when the gospel is most clearly and intimately explained, proclaimed, and experienced? And that takes place in the Lord's Supper for your strength, to strengthen your weak faith. So there is a reason why we still call it the body and blood of Christ. It's because Jesus does. But He does this to comfort us, to strengthen our faith. Amen?